Christmas Day. Beautiful day of celebration. What a better day to be in church than on the birth of Christ. Let's get beyond all of the worldly stuff. You know, is it his birthday? We all know today isn't his birthday. And the shepherds weren't out in the middle of the winter watching their sheep at night even. But, you know, this is a time, I've said it for years, this is a time when not only we as Christians and believers celebrate the birth of Christ, but to a degree out there in the world, it's still being celebrated if we look around. Maybe not in the way we'd like to see it, but let's be thankful that it even gives us opportunity to mention the name of Jesus Christ. And I would like to, you know, last week I made a statement. It's easy to celebrate the season of Christmas, isn't it? And we drove through town last night, lights everywhere. I mean, I've been here since 74. I've never seen that many lights in the town in Midland. Only God knows a heart. That was the season of Christmas celebration. I pray that some of the businesses, some of the people that put it up, had a deeper understanding, and that's the reason for Christmas, and that's Jesus Christ, period. As we gather around our tables this morning, and we're, or this afternoon, tonight, whenever we sit, I'd encourage us, let's, you know what, the Word of God says, the Lord is on his throne. Let the whole earth, not just a few, let the whole earth be silent before him. When we're sitting around our tables and in our living rooms today, let's maybe make a concerted effort not to allow the world, and that's situation, circumstance, problems. Let's not let the world, let's not let the government, politics, take the place that rightly belongs to our Lord and Savior today. If it happens, I mean, you can. I mean, it's your house. But if we can, why? Why would we let the depression of what's going on in our world and society take time that rightly belongs to Jesus Christ? If someone does say, well, look at the world and look at this and that, let's be ready to throw a script. Yeah, but look what God says. But I just, you know, I just felt that myself. I'm going to try with my family. No politics, no griping, no talking about people that live on the other side of the United States that we've never been to their house for dinner and we'll never be there. And no matter what the color of that house might be, get my drift. Let's just leave them out of God's space today and worship an almighty God that loves us. So that's what we're going to look at today, about the birth of Jesus Christ. And again, we've heard these things over and over, and I think it's a challenge to anyone, whoever stands in a pulpit or teaches a Bible study, to present a Christmas story. And there's thousands of them out there. I want to try to keep this in simplicity today, because that is what we should know in our hearts and our minds, that Jesus Christ is so simple. And that doesn't mean unlearned or anything. He is so simple. The gift that God and he himself presents to us is so simple, we need somebody to help us misunderstand it. And there's plenty of those people out there today that will help us mess this up royally. I fear lest the enemy, the Satan, the hater of our souls would beguile us from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Not me. That's God's word. It's so simple that what we're going to read, he came to ignorant, unlearned shepherds. What does that tell us? He didn't go into the Jerusalem Theological Seminary at that time. Did that exist? Yes, it did. There were rabbis. There were mass. There was, you know, he came that each and every one of us would not feel out of place, confused. This is beyond me. He came to the simplest, to the lowest, to the middle, to the high. He came to all of us. And let's try to draw that out today. I will. The reason for the season is a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not presents, not a God who is Santa Claus. Not a God who at our beck and call, now act on this, Lord, I'm in trouble. Now, Lord, I need you now. Well, we needed him, you know, just before we said that. But I want to focus on Jesus Christ, the gifts through him, and maybe just of him. Let's start with that. The gift that each and every one of us possess. And I pray as I look around, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, Savior, Savior. I'll say that three times. That is the purpose of today. Not that our wishes and our prayers and our relationships are all, it's that mankind would have a Savior, plain and simple. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. You can read in Matthew later on this week, and we're all challenged to take that walk from the cradle to the cross, from the cross to the grave, the resurrection to the return. Before this year gets into you, I would make that a resolution. My resolution every year is not to make resolutions. I'm done with them. But I just want to follow my Lord, and I want to see first the big picture. Not just glimpses, because life gets in the way and we miss the big picture. Let's challenge ourselves this year. It's a simple reading. Craig and I figured it out last. What did we say? Even the slowest of readers can really go from the cradle to the return of Christ in a section of scripture in like an hour and a half. We watch crummy movies that we ask ourselves, why did I watch that? What did it mean? Did I miss the ending? I asked the other night. I said, did I fall asleep? I knew I was wide awake. I couldn't figure out what it was about. This is so simple. And what we can figure out after today, if we continue to look into it, is that we have a God, and if you're not in Christ, you have a God, whoever you might be, who loves you, who cares for you, and gave his only begotten son. Wow. There's no gift under a tree that can compare with this. So Luke 2, if you're there now, we've read this over and over and over. But let's hear it with a new heart today. In the King James Version, so there will be a little difference if you're reading another translation. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Just where do you see the new one coming out? They thought Caesar was bad, you know? And this text, I said, don't let them have that. That's it. And if I do it again, you come up here. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, the house of bread. The house of bread. The bread of life is what God is sending down to us today. And if you're watching on the tube somehow, and if you're not in Christ, I beg you before the day goes further that you sit and contemplate your eternal destiny. And the only way to know it for sure is Jesus Christ. Amen. To be taxed, verse 5, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. No exclusivity, no elitism. This is a worldwide offer, not just to some special group of people, to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste. Very important word after we hear this story today. We don't have time to think, to plot, to figure it out, what's in it. Haste when you hear and see the things that we have seen over last night and today. Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came, verse 16, with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Still wondering today. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father God, help us to still and quiet our hearts and our minds. Help us take a look down into that manger. Help us look into that little cradle. Help us look beyond the swaddling clothes and the things that are around and understand that we have been given the greatest gift that can ever be given. Help us understand. Help us believe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I started looking at that, and in my mind, you know, 20 really jumped out. And said the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and they had seen. So I sat there for a little bit and I thought, wow, you know, what did they hear and what did they see? Now, some of us, I look around here and I think, who's been sitting with us for 40 years? A lot of us. 30 years. A lot of us. We've heard and seen a lot of things. But I thought this was just one night, one little moment in time. They heard something. They saw something. And these guys, the bravest of the brave, fearful, ignorant men, ran off, didn't take a flight, didn't rent a car, went to this place to see what's this about? That's serious, inner, critical thinking. And they didn't just hear it and see it and sit with it. They went and told too. But so I wonder, what did my question to myself was, God, what did they hear and see? And first, what I heard again was God telling me they heard and they saw the simplicity of my message. Now, whether that was my own intuition coming on, you know how God speaks to you, don't you? You know, depending on who you are and how reverent and what a mature sinner most of us are, he speaks in different types of, you know, languages and whatnot. I'm an old New Yorker, and he just tells me, wake up sometimes. I know that's him. You know, that's not me. So he said, well, they heard and they saw the simplicity of my message. That's that I love you. So I started looking at that, and I wanted to break it down. For you, you can look at it in yours, circle it, underline it. So the first thing was in verse 8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, the lowest of the low. Stop thinking about ourselves that we're not worthy. Stop thinking about ourselves as I haven't reached the mark that I'm supposed to. These were just plain, hard-working class people. Period. They were out there at night, one of the most dangerous times ever to be out there. Why? Because they were sheep. And because they were sheep, there were wolves. And because there were sheep, there were thieves out there that would come and kill them possibly just to get their goods. We're in that same type of a place today. Do you see it? Yeah. Do we hear it? Yeah. And what is God saying to us? So what God is saying is verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. And that's good news. For behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. That's the good news and the simplicity of the gospel. So here these guys heard, fear not. I got some good news for you guys. This is probably the best sermon that any preacher could ever preach, and he could preach it every week, the same thing, until it gets into our hearts. So get ready. But verse 11, the reason for the season. Verse, for unto you, put your name in there today, whether write it boldly or just know it. For unto you, Doug, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. What is a Savior? I challenge you, look that up. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, I brought to you a form of a belief pattern. I brought to you a type of God that you might feel comfortable worshiping. This is a God. You could put him in your back pocket and he'll be there when you need him. Unto you, unto us, unto all men, and the ones that we're going to talk to this week, the ones that we're going to bump into, and maybe for the next weeks, whatever time we have left, the message of Christmas is we've been given a Savior. Not every wish granted. Not every prayer answered. Not every ailment and things that go wrong with us taken away. Some, yes. Loved ones taken. Marriages broken. Financial things broken. He never said that. He said the good news is you got a Savior from all of this stuff. Wow. Verse 12, signs. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I don't know why I pointed over there. That, you know, that was found in Walmart, but it still represents. Nina, for the first time, Nina used to say, I hate that. Why do you have to put it in front of the church? Well, I put it out here this time, you know. A sign that there's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Maybe when we look at our presents today, maybe that's where those gifts that are under there, maybe that's where the symbolism of that gift is. I thought, well, it's under this tree. And it's got this wrapping. That's kind of a swaddling clothes. And then when you take it out of the manger, there's the gift inside. Pat spent so much time making sure the edges of the great-grandchildren's wrapping. She'd tell me, bigger piece of tape, but oh, don't put that green bow on there. Put a red one on there. I told, they don't care about the wrapping. They don't care about the wrapping. They want what's inside. And I'd ask, you know, and if you're watching today, you're looking for salvation. That's what you're looking for. Don't worry about that wrapping if it's the right one. Get to the inside. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Wow. Glory to God. Peace. That's, he still said, I don't know how to witness to somebody. There it is. There it is. That's all. Oh, I don't remember what, you know, Johnny Smith. Let's go all the way back to the original. I don't remember what Johnny said during that sermon, do you? I don't remember what Doug said during that sermon or what Ted brought or Craig. Just remember this. We've got a Savior. You don't have, you know, you're going to have to go through what you're going through right now, unfortunately. But we've got a Savior. And then it's good news. Somehow just let that develop our statements to one another. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It's witness. That talks about our witness. That's something that, what am I going to do with this gift? How many, you'll say it today if you haven't. What am I going to do with this? What? I had somebody give me a gift that they even said, I don't know why we even gave you this. And you're going to be thinking, why did we think you wanted that? Now, I won't say it's you, Nina and Ted. I won't.
He was so happy, though.
I'm so happy with it, though. I opened it, it was like, wow. So, our witness. Let people see that we're happy with this gift. Let people hear it. Don't say, well, you know, I've said it for years, turtlenecks, I hate them. Don't give me it. But when I started snowboarding, I loved them. I had 14 years of turtlenecks from my mother-in-law, you know? Then I ripped them out of the closet. Oh, these are great. And then you pull them up like Joe Palooka. Remember Joe Palooka? You know? Our witness. Okay, so you've got that picture. Christmas, the manger, God coming down to man. In that moment, oh, it took time. We read the story about, you know, Elizabeth and Mary and all that, and the time that they needed to conceive. But all of a sudden, the 9 months, the year prior, it goes down to one little shot, does it? One moment in history was Christ in that manger. One moment. And one moment in history changed everything. Everything. You might not buy that. You might, you know, somebody might, oh, come on, you know. That one moment in history changed mankind eternally, not just for a little while. So his birth, that moment, how did you do that? Well, his birth fulfilled prophecy. When you go all the way back, and those that just searched the Torah and the scrolls, they had to admit, my goodness, here's a fulfilled one. Could it be? Here's a fulfilled one. So I started looking some things up, and I didn't count them, but I went to scholars, to commentators that I respect, anywhere from 300 to 500 prophecies were fulfilled by the birth of Jesus Christ and just his earthly ministry. See, we have more prophecies coming, that he's going to return, that he's going to take this whole spinning ball of hot wax and just make it new, that we're going to spend eternity. There's more to come. But this little baby fulfilled the prophecies that mankind was looking for. And now we're trying to silence him. They missed this one moment. They missed it. It's as plain and simple as it is. What are those prophecies? We've had them. We had them last night in the candlelight service. We had them weeks before. Turn to Isaiah 7, if you would. We all know these. But I'd ask us this week, meditate on them again. Isaiah 7, verse 14, I believe it is. One of those prophecies is, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. So there's so many more. Alma, a young woman, a virgin that never knew anybody prior, shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Then the one that we all know, just flip a page, Isaiah 9. This is us. Down through the ages, that one moment in history that changed mankind, the same moment is being offered, the understanding of it, the belief of it. In verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. I said it last week, please, I'm not getting political. Don't forget that. It's nothing that we see. It's nothing that we hear. The government is on the shoulders of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being backed up by the power of his Holy Spirit and sealed and solid till the day of redemption by God, who created this whole world and this universe. The government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. And not Wonderful Counselor. I hope you have a comma in between. You're wonderful. He's wonderful. Wow. Wonder of wonders. Wow, what's wonderful? Oh, that's just wonderful. No, this is beyond. This is beyond what we look at in this language as wonderful. Counselor. We've got a counselor. You don't need to go find another good one. Maybe it could help. But he is the wonderful God that loves us. He is a counselor that he knows every thought and every possible ending of everything in our lives. It's a mighty rushing wind. Open the doors, let it in. Trust in the Lord. I can't say it enough. With all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. You need counseling today? Please take that. Proverbs 3, sit with it. When we are done ranting and raving, say, Lord, That's how I see it, but I'm not supposed to trust in that. I kind of understand it, but I don't understand it. What do you have to say about it? You're in charge. And off we go on a whole nother walk with the Lord, if we allow him in that spot. Matthew 1, if we'll turn there, we're heading back towards our topics today. Matthew 1. That's why it didn't look right. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. These all kind of blend. It tells more of a story. When you read some of the ways that the Bible was written, and especially in our Old Testament, the Jews liked to, they threw out a bunch of little things. And then they kind of gave a whole big picture. Did you ever notice that? Here's like, and now for the rest of the story. This encapsulates what we just read in Luke, tells us a little bit more about them. And verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. When we look at the simplicity of Jesus Christ, whether it's here, you're saved, unsaved if you're watching, that's something that you've got to clear with your heart first, because it's not going to clear with our minds. This was a virgin. She is conceived of the Holy Ghost. This is not, well, that's what they thought. No, this is either true or it's false in your life. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? Savior. Remember we had that back there? Well, you know, there's other, we look at that, and you call his name Jesus. Jesus is our Greek of Yeshua, for the Hebrew, Jehovah. We've got names, Yahweh, which is unspeakable if we really try to put the syllables together or whatever they are in that. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. This baby fulfilled prophecy as a Savior. That's the gift that you and I have today. And it was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Did that pierce the ears of anybody back there in 745 B.C. or whenever it was written? It should pierce ours too. We just read that, didn't we? That it might be fulfilled, that was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin, that's Isaiah 7:4. We just read this, shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus, the Savior. That's the gift that you and I have today. Look into it, from the cradle to the cross, to the day he's coming back for us. Greatest gift to mankind. The greatest gift to mankind. Amen. I'm going to walk you through some more scriptures. This is not so much what I say, but it's God. Let's John 3:16. Let's turn to it, even though we all know it, right? But do we really know it? Do we really know it? John 3:16, we're talking about in a moment in history, mankind was changed by one gift. Not by a happening or whatever you might try to explain it away. It was the gift of a child that was given. No greater gift can any man give. But John 3:16, if the S says, for God so loved the world. It's part of the gift. It's part of the simplicity. Well, what's in it? Well, it's a Savior, but it's love. Do we see it? How dare I don't know about you, how dare I say I love, you know, you've heard this on my recording. One day I just put, well, you know, blah, 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 leave your number. I love you. God bless. And Pat asked me, do you really love those people that are calling you? No. Some of them, you know, the telemarketers that live here. She goes, well, get it off there then. Part of the gift that you and I have been given is what love truly is. In the simplicity of a baby, we were given love. Now it's up to us to understand it, to believe in it, to walk in it. And love was never meant to be kept just for a certain few. Love was meant to be given away as Christ gave his child. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, all men, remember the glorious good news? That whosoever, not just the select few, not just the chosen, but whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's look at Matthew 1. I probably should have done this in order, but some of our pages need to be unstuck anyhow. The gift. What am I getting today? What am I going to do with this? I hope when we're done, we're gonna open it, rejoice with it, and we're going to wear it every single day till it'll never wear out. But 21 of Matthew 1 says, and he shall bring forth a son, and he shall call forth his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. We got a Savior. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Love. Love and simplicity. Not a whole bunch of routines, rituals, all this stuff that once you've done these, and if you do them properly, like the tabernacle, remember? Boy, if you did anything wrong in there, wait till next year. This is so we can have a Savior. This is so that we'll know what love is. And that we can continue to love our God and give it out to those who are around us. The great chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, at the very end, what does it say there? For these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest, and these are gifts, see? The greatest of these are gifts. So today I need to understand it's not the turtleneck that I might get. It's not the one thing that I really, really wanted, and it's not here, and I'm disappointed. You know, disappointment can block the voice of God so easily. Not that we miss him, but we just seem to drift in some other area. The greatest gift, the simplicity of his son. The greatest gift, the gift of love. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, another one that we all know. Let's start at verse 8. But again, this year, I want to concentrate. I want to think on what I literally, you and I, we carry this gift around in us everywhere we go. We carry this gift around with us by the Holy Spirit who lives and indwells us every second, millisecond, nanosecond of the day. He never leaves us. He'll never leave us until that day that we're joined together again. I carry this gift around with me every moment of the day. How important is it really to Doug Gibney? I need to think, verse 8 says, for by grace, see God's grace, that grace that Jesus, you know, God gave his son as a baby. After 33 years, he walked, had an earthly ministry, gave his life on that cross for you and I, that we might have eternal life, to show us what true giving is and true life is. That's the grace of God. The acrostic doesn't even touch it and probably shouldn't. Grace, God's reward at Christ's expense. That's what it is. Why did I deserve it? Let that be a journey for each and every one of us this year. Why? And all we'll get is because I love you. Well, isn't it a little deeper? No, it's simple. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm coming back. For by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a what? A gift of God, it says. not of works, lest any man should boast. It's nothing that you're doing. It's nothing that you might do. It's nothing that you force yourself or myself into doing. This will really please God. If I just do this, if I just come to Wednesday prayer meeting, if I just come to 11 o'clock, if I just read a chapter a day, it has nothing to do with any of that. This is all good for our spiritual growth and our maturity. But this gift that we received represented in a baby that changed eternity, it changed the world in a moment, it's ours. For you're his workmanship. That's a whole nother sermon right there, but the Greek word is poema, poem. You're God's poem. He wrote a special poem about you, and I've preached this one before, but let's not take it lightly. Oh, I've never something about a gift as beautiful as a tree. What's that poem? I wasn't that very good at poetry, but you're his poema. When people see you, they're reading the work of God. Ouch. What is that? I was going to say something, but I'm not going to. When people look at you, they're looking at God, okay? They're beholding a work, a poem. They're reading about some aspect. This was years ago when I was just freshly saved, you know. But I flipped out in town one day pretty bad on this individual. And after I walked away, the guy said, wow, who was that? And my friend Danny Martin, I was looking for Danny. Danny goes, that's our pastor over at Calvary Chapel. What a poem that must have been, you know. But where is workmanship? Do we hear that at this day? Where is workmanship? Where is poem? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wow. We're not here today by accident. We came here as a choice to leave our homes and the warmth and the presence, and some of us still have family at home waiting for us. I'll try to end this. But we're not here today by accident. And you're not watching, however that works, back there or up there. You're not watching this by accident either. I feel the God of the universe is trying to speak to us that one moment, not only did it change the course of our lives, but that one moment can change the course of your life today. Problems, circumstances, they're going to remain, but your life eternally can be changed. God's gift, one time, not over and over and over, so until mankind gets it, he gave Jesus Christ one time, one moment in history, changing lives, changed history, then, back then, and now. The shepherds heard it. The shepherds saw something. But you realize they didn't do 4 years in seminary. They didn't do 23 years of theological doctrinal studies. They heard something that probably took, what do you think? I don't know. I didn't look that up. What do you think that took? 5 minutes? They heard something. They listened to it. They saw it. And they booked to go tell some people about this thing that's going on in our lives. This one moment about a little baby that can change your life. There'll be another moment in history. I'm going to end with that. Just a moment. One decision. And some of us here understand one decision in our life, one decision, not a number of, but one decision, if it's right and we compel ourselves to follow that, it's amazing what can happen. I look out and think of William. One decision and where you're going to go with that decision. Instead of running with the crowd, could make you a power woman in the hardware industry, can make you a teacher, can make you a counselor, can make you whatever it might be, one right decision, one wrong decision, unchecked, unchallenged, continued on. One moment, I had this, I should go that way, I'm going to go this way. That will change your life, my life, those that we talk to will change our lives for eternity. One more moment in history is coming, is what I was heading for. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. One more moment that will change the course of history in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. And mysteries aren't secrets. They're situations that you have to do some critical thinking. Mysteries are something that the answer doesn't just lie right there in front of you. You have to move things, check things, find out things, search for things, and all of a sudden the mystery then is revealed. Is Dr. Clouseau in the parlor, as Tom would know. The only thing I liked about that game was that little sword. Remember that little sword that they gave you in Clue? It's a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, there it is, in a moment. Just a moment, that's all it was. Oh, it was just, you know, I'm having a senior moment. Now, I'm having senior episodes right now. They're going into series, you know, I can't remember what. But a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. The gift, the simplicity. Every one of us are dying. The question is, where are we going to spend eternity? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives. Don't miss that. Us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Hold on is what I'm saying. I got to hold on. Mom's got to hold on. This isn't any easier just because I have this title pastor. I'm a shepherd. That's all I am. And I've sat here before. I might not be the theological, you know, wizard that maybe some might like, but I'll defend you until the end as a shepherd, and I will tell you everything I've heard and seen. That's all I can do. That's simplicity. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. What's moving you? Why is it moving you? Look into that this year as it's coming and say, I'm not going to let it move me. I've got the simplicity of Christ. I've got the love of Jesus Christ. I've got a Savior. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's that good works, remember? Not just for some. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, that, and I hope we know, and we hear it today, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can build a car, you can build a house, you can build a swimming pool, you can build a bunker, you can build anything you want. It's going. It's going to die. It's not going to hang around. And as Taffy always used to say, there are no hearsts that have U-Haulets behind them. We're not taking it with us. So with all of that, I'd ask you, contemplate the gift. Contemplate the simplicity. Don't miss it. Because a lot of people past miss this one moment in history. A lot of people today are still missing it for whatever the reason. The gift that we have wrapped up in that little baby, number one, was salvation, a Savior. Don't overlook that gift. Forgiveness through that Savior of our sins. Nobody else can do that. We can forgive each other. Most of the time, we really don't. We're just uncomfortable. So I forgive you. But then we talk about it for years. We keep beating on each other, biting on each other. And good works. is what we've been given in the gift of Jesus Christ. So you look at that salvation, that's the Trinity. Salvation, this is what we've just read in that one gift. What did they hear and see as I started? And what I hear and see is that I got a Savior. That's God. I've got forgiveness. That's Jesus. I've got good works that I'm supposed to walk in, and that's the Holy Spirit. We've got the Trinity, all three in one, wrapped up in our baby Jesus. One moment in history, don't miss it. I can't wait until you open your gift and share with us what you found in it. What'd you get? What you gonna do with it? It's a whole new year coming. I think we need to turn this town right side up, is my attitude, because they're going to try to shut us up, but ultimately they're trying to shut him up. And it's up to us at this point. So, Father God, thank you for your wonderful gift of your only Son. Help us to understand the deeper meaning of the simplicity of Christ. In his name, amen. We're going to be offered a gift. That Kathy is going to give to us. Yeah.
And, well, I hope so. I feel a little bit like Seth.
You can sit instead of standing during this time. We'll listen to her and see what she's brought us from the Lord.